Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you could be with us. This week's program is presented by research contributor and colleague Angeline Marie, and her comprehensive report entitled Pandemic Chronicles focuses on the staged mock pandemic exercises prior to 2020 COVID world event. The global elite pandemic players and peddlers' roles revealed, and their monetary ties. Now here's Angeline reporting for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports.
Well, Tom, today I decided to finally do something I have not really cared to do, and that is to talk about COVID-19. I'm going to call this report the Pandemic Chronicles, and I can't possibly cover everything I wanted to cover, so there will be reports to follow. But here's what led me to this. To keep my spiritual side intact, I really have stayed away from all news headlines and reports. It was just way too discouraging, and I just didn't care to keep internalizing all the garbage. So really, on the whole, I really try to stick with spiritual input these days. That being said, I wanted to address things earlier, but my head is still swirling from all the tentacles that extend from this virus, and not only in the U.S., but in the world. So like I said, I've tried to stay away from all news reports, both mainstream and alternative. They're very negative and discouraging. So just to keep my sanity, I've, on the whole, stayed away from all this. If all you watch is COVID coverage 24/7, that in and of itself will kill your spirit with all the negativity. But still, every once in a while, I catch a headline here or there on my phone. As a journalist, I've tried to shut this down myself, but I caught an email headline. So I'm checking my email one morning, and one email headline led me down a rabbit hole of no return. Before I knew it, I was on a website from the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. So let me say this again. I was on not a conservative news website or blog. It was what most people would think of as an elite, mainstream as you can get website, Johns Hopkins, a very prestigious and well-renowned source in healthcare. Everything I'm going to describe to you next is on that website. At least it is today. I don't know if it's going to stay up there, but right now, this information is open to the public for all to read. So part one of this report is going to be called Event 201, the dress rehearsal. This particular page that I landed on describes an event that took place in October 2019. Specifically, this event took place on October 18, 2019. And the following that I'm going to read to you is an introduction sentence about the event that was hosted by Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. The title of the statement on this website, it's called Statement About NCOV, it's N-C-O-V, and Our Pandemic Exercise. So let's stop. Did you catch that phrase? In quotes, Our Pandemic Exercise. This was referring to a pandemic exercise that took place on October 18, 2019. Okay, the introduction continues. Quote, in October 2019, the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security hosted a pandemic tabletop exercise called Event 201 with partners, the World Economic Forum, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This is telling us that Johns Hopkins, the World Economic Forum, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation hosted a mock pandemic exercise called Event 201 just months before China and the world started to experience the pandemic in real time. So my question to you, is this fact or fiction? fiction. Now, before I move on, I want to make a quick mention of the World Economic Forum. I'm sure most of you have heard about it, but do you really know what the World Economic Forum is? So I want to cover that really quickly before I move on, because simply because they were partly a main attraction or host of this event. So in case you're not sure what they are, here is a quote from the World Economic Forum website. Okay, the World Economic Forum is the International Organization for Public Private Cooperation. The forum engages the foremost political, business, cultural, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industry agendas. Okay, so this is off the World Economic Forum website, and it goes on to talk about how they were established in 1971 as a not-for-profit foundation that was headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland. But let's revisit what I read off their website. Okay, again, quote, the forum engages the foremost political, okay, aka government, business, aka big business, cultural could be media, could be universities. But when I think of cultural, who shapes our culture today? In my mind, a lot of it is media, entertainment industry, celebrity, could be books, could be magazines, online media, like FedBook, like Google, like Netflix, like YouTube, like any of these characters, right? That's what I think of that is really huge in shaping culture today, especially when it comes to young people. Okay, so it goes on, cultural and other leaders to shape global, regional, and industry, and here's the big word, agendas. On their website, admit that their existence is to shape agendas. That's global agendas. They say that. Okay, so to translate, basically, this is what I'm reading. They work with politicians or government, really, big business. That could be Walmart, that could be Amazon, that could be financial institutions, that could be healthcare companies. The sky's the limit. Big business, right? I bet they're not working with small mom and pops that are going under right now. I'll bet they're not. I'll bet none of those people were at this event 201. So most likely it's going to be huge business, huge players on the world stage. So basically, why did I bring up the World Economic Forum? The real point that I want to make about them is that they already have their tentacles within all the institution types of our societies around the world, in my opinion. And in my opinion, their role is to get all these groups together to help push out their agenda or their whatever the global narrative is going to be. I think the World Economic Forum is behind getting all of these institutions, all of these players, whether it's university, whether it's healthcare, whether it's entertainment, whether it's government, on the same page to, let's go back to their words, not my words, quote, shape global, regional, and industry agenda, end quote. Okay, so now let's go back to Johns Hopkins' statement. To me, this is saying that Event 201 was a dry run for the COVID pandemic. Okay, so the following quote that I'm going to read is on their own webpage that was specifically created for Event 201. So here it is. Quote, the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, hosted Event 201, a high-level pandemic exercise on October 18, 2019 in New York. The exercise illustrated areas where public-private partnerships will be necessary during the response to a severe pandemic in order to diminish large-scale economic and societal consequences. Did you notice the phrase, quote, public-private partnerships? This was the same language that I found on the mission page of the World Economic Forum that I stated earlier. Translated, in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, just kind of reading, you know, through this language, if you really look at it and scrutinizing, it means that whatever agenda, narrative, or actions that they determine that they want pushed out by the elites at the top, and then this stuff gets funneled down through these tentacles to finance, to university, to healthcare, to big business, to entertainment industry, and it just goes on and on. The tentacles go down. They filter all of the narratives to get full cooperation with all of these societal institutions that I talked about to disseminate this information to the masses. So it starts at the top. It gets pushed down to the masses in the mainstream. Okay, now, before I get to the next subject, I want to state another quote from the Johns Hopkins Event 201 webpage. Now, remember, folks, I'm not getting this stuff from Fox News or whoever you deem to be a conservative news source or even a liberal news source. This is not a political, you know, one party against the other. This has affected everybody. I don't care your color. I don't care your ethnicity. I don't care your political views. So listen up. We're back to the website, Johns Hopkins website. Quote, for the scenario, we modeled a fictional coronavirus pandemic, but we explicitly stated that it was not a prediction. Instead, the exercise served to highlight preparedness and response challenges that would likely arise in a very severe pandemic. We are not now predicting that the NCOV-2019 outbreak will kill 65 million, although our tabletop exercise included a mock novel coronavirus. The inputs used for modeling the potential impact of that fictional virus are not similar to the NCOV-2019, end quote. Okay, so they just basically told you ahead of time what this exercise entailed. And guess what? We're living it right now, aren't we? So I ask you, is this coincidence? Think about it. Is it coincidence? I want to tell you something. The Guardian reported that the first COVID-19 case that happened in China was in November. Okay, according to a report at theguardian.com, the first cases of COVID hit China in November 2019. Here's my words, just weeks after the quote-unquote high-level pandemic exercise. So come on, use your critical thinking skills here. Did they know what was coming? Could this have been a dress rehearsal for the live show, people? In the next section, I'm going to start talking about the players that attended this event 201.
We're pulling the plug on the politically correct machine. Here on the K-Star Talk Radio Network, listen live 24/7 to conservative Christian digital talk radio at kstartalkradio.com or download the TalkStream Live app and listen on your phone at talkstreamlive.com or listen on any phone from the telephone line at 1-605-562-5330. Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Now, I'm going to continue with the players. I can't possibly get through all of this in one report, so I'm going to dive even deeper. But today, I just want to quickly go through who attended the Event 201. Who were the players? Okay, well, we know the major stars were Johns Hopkins, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum. Okay, those were the big heads of this thing. I touched briefly on the World Economic Forum and the tentacles that they have into these major institutions across the world, right? And I told you the types of institutions we're talking about so that it entails all different areas of our life. Many of these types of players, and that's another thing I noticed, on the Event 201 site, there is actually a link to the people that attended this and were part of it. And do you know what the name of that link is? It's called Players, P-L-A-Y-E-R. as players. You know, if you watch old movies, and I know I'm getting off track here, but if you watch old movies, when you look at the credits, they called them back then players. The players in this production were, and they call them players. And isn't that funny that we have a mock exercise, and instead of saying attendees or partners, they call this section of the website players. I just thought that was an interesting side note. I am not going to name the quote unquote players by name, because even if I did, you wouldn't even recognize the names. I didn't recognize the names. However, I recognize the institutions in which those people come from, as you will. And you can go to the Johns Hopkins Event 201 website yourself, and you can see individual bios on each quote unquote player. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you from which institutions they come. And in my opinion, these are the role players. They're the ones that are help carrying out the narrative and the orders from the global top elite. In addition to media, these are some of the role players that took to the stage for Event 201. Marriott International, United Nations Foundation, Henry Schein's U.S. Medical Group, the Gates Foundation, wow, that's a shocker, the ANZ Bank, who also happens to be that person's also a board member, chairman of, get this, Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, a representative from McGill University's Population and Global Health, School of Population and Global Health, Director General of the Chinese CDC, a senior research fellow from Johns Hopkins University, a huge communications firm, a senior head of Crisis Emergency and Business Continuity Management from Lufthansa Group, a deputy director of public health service and implementation science from the CDC, somebody from Johnson & Johnson, somebody from the UPS Foundation. It was the president of the UPS Foundation. And so those are some of the big players that were at this Event 201. I'm going very long, so I'm going to wrap this up for today, but I'm going to finish this report more in depth. We're going to look at follow the money of these big players and what's going on down the pipe. But here's my conclusion for today. I have researched a lot of other info, so I'm not just picking this out of the sky. What I've researched has brought me to this point that, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, so I'm going to disclaimer, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but from what I've looked at so far, I do not think that Event 201 was an accident, was a coincidence that led to this COVID reality that faces us today on a worldwide scale. My spidey senses tell me that Event 201 was the dress rehearsal to the real life stage show that we are now living today across the world, unfortunately. I could be wrong, but I believe that Event 201 was the place in which all of these institutions of society and the world, whatever area they're from, they were all brought together to New York in October 2019. Now here's my tinfoil hat moment, to write the script of what had to play out once the show started to occur in real time. Okay? This is not something I just saw on Fox or whatever. This is on their website. They've admitted to all this. So the pandemic that we're living right now has really, as far as we can tell, it's resulted in major societal life changes across the board and across the world. Things that they've been talking about, the global elite have been talking about: population control, vaccine, a surveillance society, food control, money control, where they want to go to digital money now. And now even we're seeing people can't move state state to state freely. So this is not something, you know, that I've made up that's tinfoil hat. This stuff is going on. We're seeing it right now. They're coming down on our constitutional rights, our privacy, and on and on and on. So I didn't just make this up. What I'm simply doing is I'm researching off their websites and I'm putting the pieces together. I'm going to continue to build my case over the next days and weeks, and I will have follow-up reports. So we'll revisit the Pandemic Chronicles, but Event 201, like I said, you can check it out just by going to Johns Hopkins Event 201 website. They admit it all, folks. I'm not making this up, but all I ask is please look into it yourself and think. Do some critical thinking.
We're pulling the plug on the politically correct machine. Here on the K-Star Talk Radio Network, listen live 24/7 to conservative Christian digital talk radio at kstartalkradio.com or download the TalkStream Live app and listen on your phone at talkstreamlive.com or listen on any phone from the telephone line at 1-605-562-5330. Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
So here we are with part two. Now, in part one of the Pandemic Chronicles, I discussed something called Event 201, which was a mock exercise that actually did take place in October 2019. It was hosted by Johns Hopkins, the World Economic Forum, and the Gates Foundation. Also included were a number of big corporations, healthcare companies, and of course, the media. I touched on some of the characters in that event, and it led me to money and patents. So now we have to follow the money. So now in part two, I'd like to expand on those involved in the whole coronavirus saga. Before we even heard of coronavirus, this cast of characters was already knee deep in this. So this was not something new. It was new to us. We had never really heard of coronavirus, this big, scary monster that we could not see. But these people, they were involved, they had different roles, but most importantly, there are a lot of connections between a lot of these foundations and different companies. And now we're going to look at them and follow the money. So where I'm going to start is, of course, I have to start with the Gates Foundation. It's only logical because look, Bill Gates took center stage. He's the one that put himself out there. He's taken center stage with coronavirus, and he seems hell-bent on coming up with the vaccine solution, so it's only natural I'd want to start with him. And don't forget, just a quick review, he was one of the hosts of the Event 201, which again was the mock exercise of a coronavirus pandemic, and what would happen, and what would everybody do. And this took place in October 2019, just weeks before we started to see the headlines covering it in China. Okay, so he puts himself out there. He has partners, and there's money that exchanged hands. So this is why I started with the Gates Foundation. Now, this guy recently retired from the Microsoft board, and almost simultaneously, he thrust himself into COVID-19. Now, one of the first partners I'm going to cover only happened because I had seen an article on something called the Peerbright Institute. I had never heard of the Peerbright Institute before this. So I saw an article on AmericanTruthToday.com. It was written by a writer named Jim Hayek. And here was the headline, Bill Gates funded the Peerbright Institute. And in the article, he talks about how this Peerbright Institute, which is actually based in the UK, holds the patent on the coronavirus. So of course that's going to get my attention. But while the article tipped me off on the Peerbright Institute, and I did agree with a statement that the writer wrote, he was talking about Event 201 in his article. And here's what he said in quotes: "This reads like a predictive script for what we're now seeing with coronavirus." Okay, so of course this caught my attention, but still, this guy, what he was saying, I had to see for myself if what he was saying was true. Regarding Gates and Peerbright, I had to see what they had in common. Okay, so here's what I found. So I want to follow the money. The first stop is the Peerbright Institute website. So I go to their website to find out what is it the Peerbright Institute does. Now, according to their website, they had a section called Viruses We Study. And what they said is that they work on diseases such as infectious bronchitis virus, which they call IBV. And they said right on the website that it's within the coronavirus family. So of course, coronavirus screams out at me, right? But the other thing is infectious bronchitis virus. And I'm going to talk about this. I'll bring it up a few more times. But the reason why that really catches my attention is, what is it that was one of the worst symptoms of coronavirus that victims could get? It was respiratory problems, right? So when I hear infectious bronchitis virus, I'm thinking bronchial, I'm thinking respiratory, I'm thinking breathing problems. And that's why this IBV in any study into that goes right to my brain as, okay, this is important, because that was one of the biggest symptoms that tended to bring people down and kill them, was breathing problems. Now, according to the Peerbright website, they say that their mission, that they're a leading center of excellence in research and surveillance of virus diseases. And they go on and they say farm animals and viruses that spread from animals to humans. And they talk about how they receive strategic funding from Biotechnology and Biological Science Research Council. They say that their vision is to control viral diseases, protecting animals and human health and the economy. Like I said, they are located in the UK. This author that wrote the article, Hayek, in the article, he talks about, he says the coronavirus strain that's currently spreading throughout China and abroad is a patented virus that's owned by the entity, the Peerbright Institute. And he goes on to say that Peerbright is partially funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So of course, these things are important, but I want to look into them and see if they're even true or if this guy's just saying this. So what's the first stop? Well, the first stop, I decide to go because he says that Peerbright holds the patent to coronavirus. So I go to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website, okay, and I punch in, they have a nice database right there, and I punch in Peerbright. What comes up are 19 results. Okay, the very first entry after I typed in Peerbright was a patent number 10130701. Under invention on this, it was called an assignment abstract of title for application was coronavirus. It was right on there. It was followed by the names of three different people that were the supposed, they were listed as the inventors. There were a litany of dates on this patent for coronavirus that went back as far as October 2004. So what does that mean? Well, I'm not sure what that means, but does that mean that they have been working on getting this patent on different documentation all the way back to October 2004? I don't know. I'm just telling you that there was documentation related to this coronavirus that went back as far as 2004. The actual coronavirus patent was issued November 20th, 2018. Exactly about a year later, that's November 2018, and October 2019, Gates has hosted this Event 201, which is for a mock coronavirus. Now, is that coincidence? So here, this Peerbright gets a patent for coronavirus, and then about a year later, they do a mock event on coronavirus, first. And then weeks after that, we see the first cases in real life show up in China. Okay, so is all this coincidence? I'm asking you. Okay, now, another interesting patent that I found that Peerbrite was working on was, now I'm reading this from their documentation, it was a mutant spike protein extending tissue tropism of, and here this is again, infectious bronchitis virus. So I wondered, well, could there be any connection between this IBV and the coronavirus? And this was another patent that the Peerbrite had been granted, was for this infectious bronchitis virus, which just so happens to be a very dangerous symptom of coronavirus that was present in many patients that had respiratory issues and difficulty breathing. So I'm just shedding light on these quote unquote coincidences. Now, more information on Peerbrite is their partnerships, their stakeholders. They have, all of this is on their website, at least it was on May 23rd when I was looking into all this. So on their own website, they list under partnerships, it says our major stockholders. Now, to be fair, as I'm browsing the Peerbrite Institute website for information on their partnerships, there was a statement that day that I found. It was very obvious. It was an edited update that was at the top of a page, and it was posted there. It was flagged with, in capital letters, edited, E-D-I-T-E-D, okay? And it was obviously put there to, in my opinion, put questions in the reader's mind. So anybody that would say, okay, what is Peerbrite into that could be questionable, especially relative to the Gates Foundation? And this must have come up because there was a big edited section right on their website. Now, again, I was researching this on May 23rd, and this edited update was posted on May 7th, and it said edited May 7th. The Peerbrite Institute is aware that misinformation regarding the Institute and its research is circulating on social media following the COVID-19 outbreak. The facts regarding our coronavirus research and funding can be found in this statement. So they dedicated an entire section to debunking any questions that anybody might have, especially as it related to coronavirus, the Gates Foundation, and their institute. And as you went down the page, it said that under major stockholders, here's who's on there, international funding and disease control agencies such as the World Health Organization, the European Commission, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So they are telling you that they have financial ties, major stakeholders, partnerships with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They also made mention of something else that you might just read and it might go right by you, but I kind of want you to pay attention to this. Peerbrite says that they are a quote unquote, that they are a publicly funded private company. They are a publicly funded private company. Okay, so private company. Now, interestingly, when I research, public companies need to publish quarterly earnings reports, right? But private companies, and this is a disclaimer, I am by no means a financial anything. I know little to none of this. But upon a little research, you can find out that public companies have to publish quarterly earnings reports, but private companies are not required to disclose financial information to anyone. Now, Peerbrite lists itself as a private company. So that makes me say, I can only imagine that they are in business to not only do research for the welfare of, you know, humans, which is what they will tell you as you read over and over on their website. But if they're a private company, I would say another target is to make money, right? So the reason for the statement is, while some may believe that their intentions for research on viruses is on the up and up, you still can't lose sight that they're a money-making enterprise. So as they go out of their way, especially in this edited section where they talk about misinformation on social media regarding the Institute and the COVID-19, okay, they're drawing light to it for a reason, because it must have come up. So in the statement, they go very much out of their way to talk about in length how they are only doing research, not with human coronavirus, but they say Purebred's livestock coronavirus research. So they're trying to convince you that any research they're doing is not on the human form of corona, but it's in relation to livestock research only. And it says, Purebred's livestock coronavirus research, your questions answered. That was posted on January 24th of this year. What I find interesting in that title is it plainly labels that this virus is the livestock coronavirus. And I think that is put there to immediately diffuse any inference that their work could be tied to the human coronavirus that we have all learned so much about and have lived now for the past few months, right? So it would make sense. They have it there big and bold in the headline that it's the livestock coronavirus research. Now, why is that important? Well, I'm going to point out something else in a little bit, but I just wanted you to be aware of that they really went out of their way to say, oh, we're working on livestock-related coronavirus.
We're pulling the plug on the politically correct machine. Here on the K-Star Talk Radio Network, listen live 24/7 to conservative Christian digital talk radio at kstartalkradio.com or download the TalkStream Live app and listen on your phone at talkstreamlive.com or listen on any phone from the telephone line at 1-605-562-5330.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show, always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Go on their website and talk about the infectious bronchitis virus. And they say that infects poultry, Purebred does not currently work with human coronavirus. The Institute holds patents which cover the development of an attenuated, meaning weakened form of the coronavirus that could potentially be used as a vaccine to prevent disease in birds and other animals. And then it goes on to say that many times there are vaccine research that starts with animals, but down the line it can be research that also helps with human vaccine and human research. So basically what they're saying, okay, we're using our research for corona has to do with livestock. But then in another breath on their website, they talk about how that could trick down to help with human vaccine down the road. Now, regarding the funding of the patent, they say on their site that the patent was not funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. That's what they say. However, there was a livestock antibody hub research project that was awarded $5.5 million by the foundation. But again, they say that this is aimed at improving animal and human health globally. So in one breath they say, well, it has nothing to do with human, right? But this one patent that had to do with livestock antibodies that was awarded $5.5 million is aimed at improving, then they admit, animal and human health globally. So as they go on and on about funding for coronavirus, and they make it clear that it was not funded, there were not specific projects funded by the Gates Foundation in regards to coronavirus. That's what they say pretty blatantly all over the website, especially this section that addressed the misinformation on social media, according to them. Okay, however, if you use your brain, you can read between the lines. How do we know that livestock research of coronavirus does not indirectly trickle down somewhere? So that means somewhere down the line, it could go towards human vaccine research, couldn't it? Maybe that's not initially what the money was put for, but that it could indirectly down the line go towards that. So part of the money, although specifically for funded research, maybe it wasn't specifically offloaded for human coronavirus, but indirectly it very well could spill over into that down the road. So why would I say this? Because under the Gates Foundation funded projects, there is a statement, and it's by the Purebright Institute. So they're saying, here's exactly what they said. So listen to this. This is a quote. So Purebright goes through this whole thing about how it has nothing to do with the coronavirus that you are currently seeing in the real world, that it has to do with livestock. But then they go on later and they say their combined expert knowledge will drive the study of cattle, pig, and poultry antibodies to expand responses of our understanding of a protective immunity in species that can be used as models for a range of human infectious disease. So right there, they're admitting that whatever they're working on could down the line be a model for a range of human infectious diseases. And that's exactly what I just said to you when I said read between the lines. So in my opinion, the Purebright Institute's trying to convince the reader that their coronavirus research is only livestock related, having nothing to do with the current coronavirus that humans are going through. But I'm just trying to make connections on what they're claiming versus what they're really doing. And something else I found really strange, they had another patent, and that was on the infectious bronchitis virus. And what I noticed when I looked at the abstract, because you can go in and get lost in these patents, they're very detailed documents. And when I was looking at the IBV, or the infectious bronchitis virus related patent from Purebright, there was a long list of references. And ironically, these references, and this was before they applied for the coronavirus patent. This was about, it looks like they filed for it in October of 2015. So you're a good 4 years before Event 201. And it was granted, this is for the IBV patent, it was granted in May 2018, which would have been about a year and a half before we started to see coronavirus show up in China. And on that particular patent for the IBV, there were several listed references, and many of them were coronavirus research references. They actually had the references listed by title, and the titles had the word coronavirus in them. And this, of course, would catch my eye, right? So although they're trying to say that all their research is around livestock and animals, I'm saying that I don't necessarily buy that, but that's just my opinion. So this is the connection between Gates and Purebright. From 2013 to 2019, the Purebright Institute received well over $17 million in funding from Gates on a bunch of different things that include foot and mouth, different strains of viruses. There's actually something in here for influenza vaccine. So there's a lot of money that they received from Gates from 2013 to 2019. So you can't tell me that there's not a connection there. There's obviously a connection there. Now, the other connection I made was between Fauci. So what's the connection between Fauci and Gates? Okay, so you know there were rumors flying in the press that there had been a long-standing relationship between Fauci, Anthony Fauci, that holds the office of the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, and that is part of the National Institutes of Health. Okay, so he's in charge of policy and management and analysis of scientific programs. So that's him. But the ironic part is Fauci was involved in another, he was involved in a Gates project called Decade of Vaccines, where this program gets $10 billion from the Gates Foundation, and Fauci is involved in that program through the World Health Organization. conversation. Another connection I found was in 2019, right, actually it was the day after that event 201, the mock exercise took place on October 18th, 2019. The very next day, Fauci receives $100 million from the Gates Foundation through the National Institutes of Health. So Fauci gets $100 million the next day after the mock coronavirus pandemic exercise. Okay, so why is that? Gates and Fauci, I'm sure they could possibly go back further than this, but what I found is Fauci's connection to the Gates Foundation in 2010, Fauci was appointed to a council, a leadership council, to the Gates Foundation for a project that they were founding called Decade of Vaccines. It was the Global Vaccine Action Plan from 2011 to 2020. So for the time period 2011 to 2020, their goal was to implement a global vaccine action plan, and Gates Foundation pledged $10 billion for this Decade of Vaccines. And Fauci just so happened to be the appointed leader. Folks, that was in 2010. That's almost 10 years before. So they've at least been tied together 10 years. And like I said, then Fauci receives $100 million from Gates to the National Institutes of Health. That's just the day after that mock pandemic exercise in New York. Another group is called Gavi. And according to the World Health Organization, there was another global vaccine action plan that was endorsed by 194 states in May 2012 to help achieve this decade of vaccine vision that I just mentioned earlier, where the goal was to immunize and make immunization available to everyone around the world. And the leadership of this, of course, was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, UNICEF, the Gavi Alliance, which I'll talk about a little bit more, and then also the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, which is led by none other than Anthony Fauci. He heads that. So you start to see all these tentacles and how they're all interrelated. Another name that came up is Moderna Therapeutics. Apparently, that is a group that's working on coronavirus vaccine right now as we speak. And Fauci's also he's got his connections into Moderna. And also the Gates Foundation has been involved in Moderna. So you start to see all these interrelational between these foundations, between government, between the Institute. And the Gates Foundation seems to over and over be giving money to all of these, from the NIH to the World Health Organization to PureBright, and then also to this Gavi, which is G-A-V-I. And in fact, Gavi has a matching fund incentive. So they're looking for funding to push these vaccines worldwide. And it was established by the Gates Foundation. But one of the funding tricks that they came up with is a mechanism to attract funding is called matching fund, and that's where the Gates Foundation pledges to match any incoming contributions to push these vaccines worldwide. And I contend that is not by accident. So I have to wrap this up because I know I'm going long yet again. But before I do, I just want to talk a little bit more about Gavi and this global alliance to get these vaccines to everyone. Okay, so here we go. The vaccine connection. So you have this great philanthropist, right, that just happens to host Event 201, which was a mock exercise of a worldwide pandemic called coronavirus. And shortly thereafter the exercise, we start to see coronavirus as a reality. So was this coincidental that within a few weeks after the mock exercise, you start to see the first cases cases of coronavirus show up in China. The Gates Foundation that was hosting this coronavirus simulation is now involved in a race to get the vaccine for the coronavirus. So enter Gavi. Now, Gavi is a vaccine alliance in which the Gates Foundation is a core partner. Also partnered with the Gates Foundation is the World Health Organization, UNICEF, and the World Bank. Now, on the Gavi website, they say that they are trying to partner with research and manufacturers of vaccine to implement them and get them out to various countries. So in June 2019, they say that the Gavi board approved. So this would have been just about a year ago now. So last summer, this Gavi approved a 5-year strategy, and they call it Gavi, G-A-V-I 5.0. It's a vision, and where we heard this before, to leave no one behind. A vision to leave no one behind with immunization. The mission is to save lives and protect public health by increasing equitable and sustainable use of vaccines. But it just so happens that the very same people that are worried about your health are also investing in vaccine research and trying to get these vaccines to market ASAP. Is it totally out of the goodness of their heart? Well, let's take a look. Now, notice that some of the people that were in this event 201 mock exercise are also involved in this Gavi. And Gavi is funded through contributions from different governments and different partners, different companies. And like I said, they had this innovative, they call it an innovative finance mechanism, but that's just so that they can attract people to make money. So that's the matching fund that I was talking about that Gates is involved in, where if somebody invests, and they use the word investment and invest. Well, I don't know about you, but when somebody invests money, they're not donating it, they're investing it. Why would you invest money? Because you expect a return on your investment, right? You're putting out money in hopes that you're going to make a return so that you'll get the money you initially invested plus a return. So this just isn't a philanthropic deal. And although they want to tout themselves, the truth is they're investing in these vaccine programs to make money. So like I said, Gavi is incentivizing funding through the Gates Foundation through this matching fund. So Gates pledges that they will match incoming contributions from a variety of entities, and they said they would do this between 2016 and 2020, and that these funds would be made available to match private sector investments in Gavi-supported programs. And this was on the Gavi website, so that quote you can find on the GAVI website. So to wrap this up, why am I making a big deal on this? Well, because as nice as you might think the Gates Foundation is in helping to solve this coronavirus pandemic, I'm just saying it isn't just about being a nice guy. I mean, this guy just happened to be at the forefront of this event 201. He was one of the hosts of this pandemic mock exercise of a coronavirus that then, weeks later, breaks out in real life. Then he just happens to be at the forefront of the vaccine solution for the pandemic. He has connections with all of these NGOs and companies and institutes and foundations that are looking to make investments on possible vaccine research and distribution of vaccines. So let's not forget also, too, that the Gates Foundation gave over $17 million from 2013 to 2019 to the Peerbright Institute, who happens to also own a coronavirus patent and a patent for infectious bronchitis virus, which they also obtained just a year and a half before the real coronavirus outbreak. And they're also all linked to this Moderna Therapeutics. And on Moderna's website, they talk about how coronaviruses are a family of viruses that can lead to respiratory illness. So all of these are overlapping overlapping in one way or another. And so I'm just saying that don't just look at everything at face value. You have to go and you can see the tentacles and who's receiving money from whom and all the cast of characters. I mean, my gosh, Fauci has been up there with Trump from the very beginning. And look at his relationship with Gates goes back at least, we found out, 10 years. And he receives money the day after the mock pandemic exercise to the tune of $100 million. So just look at all these things and be aware that it's not just that these people care about world health issues and getting a vaccine. They're also making money off this deal in one way or another. And so that's my wrap-up report. I've raised enough questions to get you to think. So I think I'm just going to stop on this whole virus thing and just say, look into it yourselves. Don't just take what they tell you at face value. They all have underlying reasons for wanting to see this thing go and to get this vaccine to market. And it isn't always necessarily out of the goodness of their heart. And that's really what I wanted to shed light on. So that wraps it up for the Pandemic Chronicles. I thank you for listening. This is Angeline Marie. We'll be right back.